crazy it seems to have a dream to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the fine folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with their people in their communities. Today on the show, it's Mac McConnell. If you don't know Mac, you're gonna in about an hour, but he's a heck of a guy, let me tell you. A real baker's baker, and I will explain that in a bit. But before that, how are you? How are you doing? How is August treating you? We are in the middle of that perfect August weather where it's warm during the day but cool at night. It was a little too cool last week. It got down to about 4 degrees Celsius at night out here, which makes for a beautiful fresh morning. And if you sleep with the windows open, my gosh, can you ever sleep because it's so nice and cool. But it kind of got me thinking, like, 4 degrees is what I kept my walk-in cooler at the bakery. So maybe it's a little too cool for summer. But I'm enjoying it, and the weather's just been absolutely glorious out here, which makes it kind of rotten that I'm not able to bake in my oven because of this whole house sale thing. But I'm not going to bore you with more house sale stories. Not this week, anyways. Maybe next week. What else is going on? I'm still doing the coaching with the Alt MBA this week. One more week and a half a week. And I'm having this just the best time ever. There's something magical. I got to tell you, there's something magical about three people getting on a Zoom call to work through a problem. And I had the opportunity to do that a couple of times over the past week where myself and another coach got to go on a Zoom call for half an hour with an Alt-MBA student and just talk about issues that they're having and things that they're struggling with either in their work life or home life or projects or businesses or what have you, and help reflect back sort of what we were seeing. And when it's two people helping a third person, it's just this beautiful dynamic where you can actually hold a conversation with one person, and then the third person is sort of listening and looking for, I don't know, little flinches or gaps in logic or where people are hiding or that kind of a thing. And it's really, really powerful. And in like 30 minutes, you can just get right to the heart of an issue and really help somebody. It's a really cool thing. And, you know, it gets me thinking about what I want to do with this baker community that I've been talking about for far too long and not actually shipping. But I just think, you know, we all go through these struggles with our bakeries and with baking and just kind of trying to figure out how to make awesome products and also make a business that can survive and that. And it's not easy at all to do that. And it's a lot of work. And sometimes you just get so in the weeds with your own thinking and your own issues that you can't solve a problem. And wouldn't it be nice if you could get on a Zoom call with you know, a couple other bakers that are just like you and just kind of talk through the problem and see if they can see something that you can't see, you know? I've got a friend of mine, he just emailed me last night that, you know, he's having a big issue with staff turnover at his bakery, that, you know, he thinks he's doing all the right things, but he just can't hold on to bakers and he thinks he's got good hiring processes, but he's hiring folks that just aren't working out. And, you know, what's going on? And you know how it is, right? Like, you get so darn tired and you're working and you're short staffed and you're just exhausted. And then you're trying to make good decisions with your bakery. And that's just one of the things that I think we absolutely have to have. And I want to get going for you guys is that kind of app or that kind of community where when somebody's got a problem, we can do that and say, hey, well, let's just, you know, I've got some time, you know, another fella's got some time or another woman's got some time. Let's just get on Zoom for 30 minutes and talk through this and see if we can help each other out. And I think if we did that as a community of bakers, boy, we could really help we could help each other out sort of in the moment, and we could learn as well just by talking about things. And so I'm doing it. I've said it again, and there's enough people listening to this thing that you can hold me accountable. But by George, I'm going to launch this thing within 4 weeks. There, I said it. So by September 20th, I'm gonna be letting you know about an actual launch of Bakers for Bakers, so that you guys can try and help each other out and get the help that you need to make sure that your bakeries are doing the best that they can, and that you're surviving, and that you're maintaining your health and putting food on your own table while you feed everyone else. And, you know, and hopefully you can get the staff in place that all of you can do well by it. So that's my goal. I don't have the answers as to how to fix things, but I'm pretty good at asking questions, and I'm pretty good at setting up a space that we can share our ideas with each other. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I hope that you come along for the ride. And if September 20th rolls by and I haven't launched it, I hope a couple of you fire me an email or message me on Instagram at Mad Baker and say, hey, where is this thing? You said you were going to do it. Because sometimes I need that kick in the pants. But anyway, enough of my rambling. It's just it's frustrating when you see how you can help someone and you just don't get off your butt and swallow your fear and actually do it. And I think if we can bring the kind of environment that I get to experience when I coach Alt-MBA and share it with you folks and share it with bakers, we're going to have better bakeries. I just see it. It's going to happen. So I'm excited about that and scared to death, but I'm going to do it. So there we go. Now, Mac McConnell. Okay, here's the thing. I said at the intro, he's a baker's baker. And this is what I mean. Because I first met Mac at Wheatstock in 2018 out in Rhode Island because I took one of his classes that was about working with, fresh milled and whole grain flour, and we were baking all this crazy, crazy bread and stuff. And what I noticed is that there's everybody in the class, and a lot of folks in the class are like really experienced bakers, and they are so excited that they got in this class, right? Like, I was there. I'm not the experienced baker, but my friend Tracy Mazzolini was in the class, and she was happy. And Mark Bianco from Bianco's Pizza in Arizona was there. And not only that, but all of a sudden during the class, all these other folks are sort of sitting at the back of the room and just kind of checking it out, you know. And it's all these really awesome bakers and bakery owners that just were like, okay, I want to see what Mac's doing here. And I'm just going to peek in and see, because he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing when it comes to baking bread and making pastries and that kind of thing. He was a teacher at SFBI as well before he opened up his own place. And when we got talking, I realized, oh my gosh, this guy knows everybody. And has worked with some amazing bakers and watched some of the real touchstones of the North American baking scene. And so we started yakking, and I got to learn an awful lot about him. But why don't you get in on this by listening to the conversation right now? Here it is, me and Mac McConnell. Mac is the owner of The Midwife and the Baker in Mountain View, California. I think you're just sort of done for the day now. Is that how that works at your place?
Yeah. The AM crew's wrapping up 12:30, 1 o'clock-ish with, production
right.
stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long have you been doing that at that location, Mac? Like the whole midwife and the baker thing?
Yeah. At this location, we're over 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah. I got my footing. Michelle was gracious enough to let me use SFBI for a minute, and then this space, Acme Bread, left a bakery, which you know, pretty much left it turnkey for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was incredible.
And Acme, those are the same guys that are down at the Ferry Station Market and that kind
Ferry,
of thing, right?
Yep. Ferry Plaza. They started in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Yeah. They left us amazing footing. So we, you know, kind of didn't miss a beat.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Holy yeah. That's unheard of, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when I sold my place, it was like to a coffee shop that just wanted to walk in and take it over kind of a thing for their production. But, yeah. but that's a mismatch as well. They didn't need the kind of bakery equipment that I had. Like, so for someone like you, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's unbelievable. Yeah. They got their useful life, and then we got a little more useful life, but now we've been, you know, slowly upgrading the major equipment.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well,
yeah.
And so you're in Mountain View, and Mountain View, I always think of Mountain View, like that's like Google land and that kind of stuff. Like I don't know. I'll ask the dumb question. How is it even possible that in the most expensive real estate in the world that you're able to set up a bakery like that or occupy one?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. I mean, I can't afford to buy a house down here.
Yeah, for sure.
Unfortunately, you know, the building owners were adamant that they wanted to keep it a bakery. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not a building that you would see, you know, turned into office building for a startup or anything. It's an ugly cinder block building. The family that owns it built, the guy's father built it to be a bakery in the 50s, and it's been a bakery ever since.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, I think fairly competitive, you know, rent prices.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not as schooled in what those rates should be, and, you know, but I was, you know, it works.
No, I hear you for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of but scared to ask sometimes, you know, it's sort of, or how whatever I'm paying compares to other places, because I don't want to get people thinking, oh, geez, I better raise it. So
where are you then?
Well, I'm in Saskatchewan in Canada.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, my landlord, when I leased my place was, he missed the wave of a bit of an oil and gas boom here. So when it came time to renew my lease, everything had already crashed, but he still wanted to get some of the good money from that. So it's like, so we jacked the rent up a ton, and it was like, but you missed it. I'm now paying.
Less. Yeah. Earth. Yeah, man. Yeah. So, you're not competitive anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But the real estate's so hard, but that's so cool that you were able to sort of walk into an existing bakery like that. And then, you know, I guess with all of the challenges now of upgrading and
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah. And we're slowly working through the process of some, like, you know, some facade upgrades and potentially a little takeaway window.
Oh, nice.
We'd be able to serve some espresso. Everything's making sense. You know, it's again, insane that we were able to kind of walk in there. You know, we got some cash flow, and now we can kind of just continue without like a whole lot of debt.
So yeah. Which is good for sleep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, we didn't have to take out that $500,000 loan and, you know, just kind of living, you know, just paying interest on a massive loan. And,
When you're selling products for, you know, $5, $6, $7 each. That's a lot of
bread,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of naivety on my end with just, you know, wishing I had an MBA and wishing I had, you know, that, which I guess maybe if you had a little bit more of a business background, maybe you wouldn't even have attempted this at all. You would have seen the, it takes a little bit of that.
I think if you sit there and you say, okay, I've got these skills. How can I make a business work? You know, like, bakery is kind of the tough one. There has to be another reason, you know?
Yeah. In addition. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You're not. Yeah. We're not in it for the big bucks.
Right? They're not rubbing their hands together going, oh, I'm on a gold. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the old joke of how you make a small fortune baking.
Yeah.
start with a big one.
Yep, exactly. So how did you get into the whole baking world anyways? Like how did that become a thing?
Yeah. I don't have like a good succinct story. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, I studied engineering, you know, really enjoyed schooling and kind of did some graduate work, and the graduate work was more to just keep me in school and hanging with my friends.
Right on.
You know, yeah. I enjoyed the school environment, and then it came time to get a job, and I sort of pigeonholed myself into like, you know, engine development. And so then didn't really love that, but then took a job that allowed me to kind of travel a little bit, but, you know, still just wasn't really fulfilled, and, you know, moved to Peoria, Illinois in the middle of winter. And, you know, there's not a whole lot to do. So it's either like go out to a movie or, you know, and hang out at your apartment. And I just started kind of playing around a little bit. I actually did some, my first sourdough out of the bread Bible.
Okay.
Rose Levy. Yeah. And I think the thing that struck me was just that process, you know, taking the engineering kind of background and like, you know, all the observations and the note taking, and then, you know, seeing that through. And I just found myself, you know, waking up at 1 or 2 to preheat an oven before work and, you know, do some baking.
Yeah.
And I guess I ultimately thought I could buy this little bakery back in my college town. And then the conversation with the current owner, he was like, well, I was like, I'd love to learn something a little bit more before I tried to open or buy a bakery.
Sure.
And he mentioned King Arthur and he mentioned SFBI. And I Googled SFBI and, you know, took Artisan 1 and 2. And then that's when I was really just floored by the process. And,
yeah,
you know, just, you know, you're just enamored by, like, you know, 3 hours later, you have these baguettes that, like, you know, they have got an open interior. And you're just like, I think I like the machines too. And I just, yeah.
Yeah, that, well, for sure. Like, I did a similar thing at SFBI. I missed your window there, cause I was there in, 2008 and,
okay.
Yeah.
Actually, what part of 2008? Cause I took the professional program. No, I took the professional program in 2008.
Okay. I was there like, January, sort of January, February of,
okay.
Of, like right in the middle of winter because,
okay.
Yeah. And I was there like 3 weeks. I took, Artisan 1, Artisan 2, and then Didier came back and did.
Yeah.
The whole grain specialty flour thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was like my high school, university, grad school in 3 weeks.
But
I know that the first time I saw that big oven with the loader and everything, it was like, whoa, this is something.
Yeah.
It's way cool, and I, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I grew up on a farm, and I think I also was really just drawn to, you know, working hard and, you know, and just that. And I love the nonverbal communication where you just have 3 or 4 people, you know, just really humming and,
yeah,
you know, just like, just that kind of dance that happens where it's like handing boards, moving stuff, moving this, like just hustling,
yeah.
You know, I really, really am drawn to that part of the process. And
for sure. Well, it's that combination of head work that you'd have as an engineer plus hand work. Right. And that's,
yeah,
something better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. And I mean, yeah, that same with farming. It's like, you know, there's definitely like monotonous parts of it, but, you know, you have to have the passion, yeah, plus, you know, a little bit more thoughtful approach. And
where was your farm?
Yeah. I grew up in West Virginia.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a little, you know, a little sheep and cattle farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandparents and my dad were grain farmers here. So, you know, yeah.
Wow.
So it's,
that's awesome.
You know, it's it is a lifestyle, that you're getting, you know, the same.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with bakers, right? It's sort of like, it's as much a lifestyle as it is,
a business sometimes, right? You know, something about,
yeah,
something about being done early in the day, you know, that kind of thing is appealing to some folks. And yeah, that sort of production routine that's never a routine, you know, is kind of cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the worst farmhand ever. I was pure city boy. But you know, they let me drive the grain truck and stuff at harvest time, and even then it was sort of begrudgingly. But yeah, I was much better just sort of, you know, in the house with my mom and my grandmother trying to make them money.
Yeah,
just stay out of my way.
watching the corners of the wagon and
yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, it was my job to watch them signal when the hopper was full on the combine, and then I would drive up to them.
But
back in the day, like in all this dust and stuff, it was the most dangerous thing ever. My dad used to smoke on the combines, and he had a tin coffee can as his ashtray, and it would just swing. He had it wired up to the railing, and it would just swing back and forth, and that would always glint in the sunshine. And I thought he was flashing the lights. And so this guy's like, "What the hell are you doing here?" You know. and then when it was time, I was like reading a book or something. I never saw him. So I only got like 3 years of that, and then he'd had enough. But you might want to do something else.
It's like, boy, you can't even drive this thing right.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's cool. And so West Virginia, and then college around there too, or was that when you had
college close by, and then bred. You know, then after college, I was, you know, Peoria, then the Pacific Northwest, and then outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
And then bread took me to San Francisco.
Wow. Nice place to
be. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 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 Right.
So how did you end up going from like taking the classes as a student to becoming the teacher there?
Well, yeah. So I did the program in 2008.
Yeah.
Miyuki was just kind of finishing a lot of the video and accompanying things for the book for Advanced Bread and Pastry.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I was enamored by, you know, by Della Fattoria's process
in
that bakery. And so I kind of immediately just wanted to go seek them out and work with them. And just, my instructor I took Artisan 1 and 2 prior to the professional program.
Right.
And that was, my instructor was Tim Kitzman.
Okay.
Which might have been, maybe was your instructor.
Mine was Stephen Isaac.
Okay. So Tim was, must have been Stephen's early, very first classes. Cause Tim, I took Artisan 1 and 2 in 2007.
Okay.
And then Stephen took over, and Stephen did my professional program as well.
Right.
But I was enamored by Tim's shaping and precision. Yeah. And, so it just, that just really like was a someone I wanted to be able to replicate his hand skills.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was 2008. Went to work with Della because Tim had worked with Della, and I visited them a few times during the program. And you know, again, a very, very beautiful process.
Yeah.
And, you know, and facility.
Yeah.
And then you know, as a lot of people probably were, and I was influenced and really by Tartine as well. And then Tartine was influenced by Richard Bordone,
mm-hmm.
and Chad and Elizabeth had spent time with him. So I reached out to Richard like via email, and he called me back like hours later, like ready to fly me out.
Wow.
To, like, meet the team. Yeah. So again, it's just like this perfect timing, perfect fit, you know, really just dug in. You know, Richard's always psyched for somebody that's really curious about the process. And so I was kind of his right hand as soon as I walked in the door.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I just got to pick his brain and then during that time, so I was there like a year and a half maybe. Mm-hmm. And then Michelle called me out of the blue and was like, "Hey, we're looking for a bread instructor. Would you have any interest?"
Yeah.
It's kind of not one of those calls you really want to turn down.
No, that's so nice.
Yeah. To get
two of them in a row like that. That's great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I leaving SFBI, I didn't feel that I'd gathered all I could from it. You know, I feel like it's such an amazing hub. And
mm-hmm.
so I went back 2010 and just started watching all the old DDA videos,
yep.
even teaching the classes, took notes.
Was working with Frank for, you know, teaching with Frank. Frank would, I'd do Artisan 1, he'd do Artisan 2. Okay. I'd sit in with him. And yeah, it's just, I guess I came from a family of teachers, you know, my mom, grandmothers, aunts, there's a lot of teachers in my family, and it kind of comes natural, but you know, at times I'm maybe not the most outgoing person, but
right.
You know, you're on stage, and sometimes you don't want to be on stage, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of those videos that you were in there, well, the one dividing and shaping video on YouTube, I still refer to that every once in a while. It's cool to see.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. That one's amazing. Yeah. Miyuki was the, you know, director, and I was really proud of what we were able to capture with, you know, just some of those techniques.
Yeah.
I definitely hear a lot of people reference that video, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. It's just a nice refresher. And there, when we were in the thick of it with our bakery, it was weird, but that was sort of my Saturday night unwind time. was crashing on the couch and then checking out baking videos on YouTube. It was just sort of,
yeah.
And if it was in a language I didn't understand, so much the better, because I could fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And I
lull to sleep with these old wood ovens and that kind of thing.
I totally hear you. It's like, I mean, it's amazing how, even though you're in it day in and day out, how your process can kind of veer one direction to the other without you really recognizing it.
And totally.
It is a good, you know, I was flipping through a book that had a couple pictures of our doughs, and it jogged my memory for how we used to mix and like where we took our doughs.
Yep.
And it kind of like pushed me out of this little slump that we were in with one of our breads. And it's kind of incredible how that.
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
So true. Like that's why I try and make it out to guild events whenever I can, or just visit another bakery, because there's something.
Just
reaching into the mixer when at someone else's place or someone else's mix, and just kind of getting, you can tell the differences, and there's so much to learn that way. Like
whenever
I come back from something like that, it's like, you know, everything changes.
it used to kind of kill
my staff, because it would be, you know, we'd be like, okay, this is how we do things. And then I would come back from something, and all of a sudden they say, hey, what are you doing over there? Why are you doing that different? And so I just wanted to try it, see what it would do. But because I watched someone, you know, whether it's someone like you or another teacher do it, it's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you for sure. It's, yeah. It just takes that in, that recalibration.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're just like stuck on something. And
well, and there's,
yeah, one.
Yeah. And there's something, and then you can explain it later, or you can have hard data to back something up later if you wanted, but it's a feel game too, so much that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so nice to be not in control. Like, you can feel the dough and just be like, all right, I don't have any, you know, any thoughts on what I would do. Like, this isn't my bread. Like,
yep.
I want to see where this leads.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. That's so neat. So,
so
I guess the midwife and the baker as a name, which I absolutely love. It's like, if you're going to have a combo business, that would be it.
some essentials. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can you talk a bit about sort of the timing wise, like, or I guess I don't know too much. Oh geez. I just turned my monitor off. I don't know too much about, midwifery. And so was your wife doing that for quite a while before you kind of did the bakery thing?
Yeah. So she's been a midwife for 10 years plus, maybe.
Okay.
We met about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
6 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, she is a home birth midwife.
Right.
Much less so now. We've got two daughters.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, you know, kind of, I didn't really have cash flow. She did a lot to float the business in the early days, and she was, you know, 100% supportive of me kind of like exploring a farmer's market and kind of, you know, before we even did the farmer's market, we kind of set up a little stall, and we're doing like, you know, some little, you know, a la Dave Guerra, or not Dave.
Oh, Guerra, Don.
Don Guerra.
Yeah.
You know, kind of kind of took his model a little bit and tried to do a little Shopify store. And there's just too much good bread in the Bay Area for people to have to think about going online and ordering something and picking it up. And but we definitely, we did a few little, you know, 6 months of just like 10 or 20 loaves picked up at her office. You know, everybody loved the jokes about the bun in the oven and, you know, bread and babies.
Yeah.
But what it allowed me to do is have that, you know, have a kind of concise menu, and then an opportunity came to get into a farmer's market and I already had my menu. So I just got to bake my breads and go
right on,
you know, go do a tasting at a market association. And, you know, and that kind of got the ball rolling, got into the Fort Mason farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And we started that one, I guess it must've been the fall of 2015.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fall of 2015. And then that same association did the farmer's market in Mountain View, which started out really slow, like just kind of me by myself. And then, you know, now we've grown that to like five or six people in the stall, two tents, and
wow,
you know, and it, yeah, it's been incredible. And then Mountain View just latched onto us so well with, you know, with this operation now and the foot traffic through our little, you know, there's no signage. The building's really ugly. It's in, you know, dire need of a paint job, and, you know, still have people just like, you know, where can I buy bread? And so again, the response from Mountain View has been incredible.
Wow. So cool. Well, and I guess like that's kind of something I've been wondering about, but when you're in a place like you are, when you're in an area that's got so much awesome bread, like what's the posture that you take for saying, okay, well, I'm going to come and put my stuff beside all of this, all of this other stuff that's already amazing. What's the thought process there?
You just know that yours is better.
There you go.
No, I mean, I think our angle for sure is the fresh milled stuff. Which I mean, Josie Baker, Manresa Bread, you know, Jorgen at Jane. I mean, Tartine's using stuff from Camus that's, you know, or their sister company. I'm blanking on, you know, everyone's using amazing ingredients.
Right.
I think that what it comes down to, it's just the one-on-one interactions with people and, you know, standing there selling the bread and like possibly covered in flour and just like looking people in the eye, you know, that's what people are looking for at the end of the day. I mean, you know, then people are much, it seems like they're accepting of like, you know, the bread's a little flat or it's this or that. And like, but you know, they're buying from a person. They're not just buying from a shelf.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. Like it really is.
Yeah.
That's probably my core belief in this is that the connections that you make with the people that you're serving is, that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah. And I think that now that we're in a wholesale operation, like, mm-hmm. you know, I get an inquiry via email.
Right.
And, you know, for a while I got in the habit of just passing that on to my person that now does a lot of the wholesale stuff.
Sure.
But I just realized I need to interject myself, you know, to be a connection to the person, you know, the chef or the, you know, the grocer and just like talk to them. And like, you know, I think that it's so easy just for them to, you know, if a delivery's late or if a delivery's wrong or,
right.
you know, then there's a little more understanding, you know, or if a payment's late or, you know, whatever the thing is, you know, when.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a personal connection. It's not a, they're not just.
Yeah.
Relating with a label or a title or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And just keep building those relationships versus just kind of just passing them on. And someone isn't as, you know, that kind of that employee number one kind of mentality and maybe doesn't have that same, you know, excitement about the product.
Yeah. So how big of a crew do you have these days?
We've ballooned to 40.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. That's wild.
Yeah. This time last year we were in the thick of it. We latched on to Blue Bottle.
Okay. Sure. The coffee.
Bay. Yeah. So that was like a straight vertical, you know, amount of growth. We, Yeah. So that, you know, to all Bay Area Blue Bottles. So that is, it's now 18 different stops.
Okay.
At that time it was like maybe 14 or 15. But that was like just a crazy learning curve.
Sure.
You know, the learning curve was, you know, the delivery, you know, hiring drivers and just like,
yeah. Yeah. You're now like a logistics company.
Logistics, exactly.
Yeah. My goodness.
So that was really tough. And I mean, definitely knock on wood. We've got solid drivers now. These guys, you know, took it upon themselves. They start at 1 a.m. now. They're on the road by 1:30, mm-hmm. you know, to get the stuff there on time and not, you know, just, yeah, it's been a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, versus these like, no show, no calls for, you know, as you're just like feeling people out.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Those early,
for sure,
days. And then we had to switch our baking schedule a little bit, which was a big undertaking.
Sure.
You know, so now for the longest time, we tried to squeeze as much as we could starting at 3 a.m., you know, start baking pastries, divide baguettes, bake sours,
yep.
package, get it in the trucks. You know, then it was just madness every morning, and you're like panting when the trucks leave, and you know, so that just wasn't sustainable. So now there's a 4 p.m. shift. You know, they bake the sours, they bake the pastries, they bake the baguettes, they package everything. It's sitting there ready for the drivers, and then yeah,
right on. Yeah,
room to make mistakes.
Yep, yeah, for sure. Well, boy, that's a lot of growth right away. You know, to be able to swallow all of that's pretty awesome. You know,
yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
I remember when my friend went from one location to two locations and how she had to just completely rework everything to supply two stores. And, you know, so that was just, it was mayhem for a few months there. So good for you.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. And the, yeah. And then you get the, like, the calls from the night crew of a piece of equipment not working.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that is the worst.
Yeah.
Like you're beat from your day, and then you're like hopping in the car to drive back down.
Yeah. So are you still, you're still trying to like be around the bench and run the show as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, despite my best efforts, like, yeah, it's just, I mean, I think that's a benefit to have me on the bench and the, you know, interacting with everybody on the team. And, you know, at times I feel that, you know, I can never feel totally like wiping my plate clean at the end of the day. You
right.
always got, you know, and I think, I mean, my manager, she has the same kind of approach. She's, you know, she's amazing with the team and amazing with communication with customers, but she also is like, you know, a really good baker that wants to be on the floor and,
right.
you know, we'll just work harder to get everybody's day, you know, smoother versus maybe taking that time to, you know, clear her plate. And then she ends up, you know, working 10, 12 hour day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that drill.
But I guess it keeps, you know, at the very least, you know, everybody's interested in the product, you know, so that's nice.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I feel that we're, maybe, yeah, you have that eye, those eyes on the people and work ethic and, you know, and just workflow and
but that's the challenge, right? It's like, it's finding that balance to where when you're that big, you can't control everything, but what's the important bits, what's the hard bits and focus on those.
Nip any little, you know, confrontations between people, nip those before they become anything full blown. And
exactly. So you mentioned earlier on just a little bit about, you know, fresh milling and that kind of thing is really being the thing that sets you apart. Can you talk a bit sort of like what's your vision these days, or what's the direction that you want your bakery to go in, I guess, in terms of all of this, you know, all of the different things that are happening these days with bread?
Yeah. I mean, so we're, as of October of last year, so we had been milling before that and doing most of the, I think at that point, maybe like middle of last year, we're doing all of our, whole flour milling ourselves.
Okay.
But just kind of just getting by with our Meadows. And I kind of always just felt like it was not quite as good a flour as what, you know, we get on one of Andrew's New Americans.
Right. Yeah.
So we got our New American in October.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And have still kept up with our little 16-inch Meadows. And so, yeah, we push whole grain into everything. Everything's at least 50% except for the baguette. I'm not sure if I'm going to take the baguette to 50% whole grain,
but, right.
You know, our country bread's 50% whole, our ciabatta, our whole wheat's 100%, our rye, our spelt are all 100%. We have the luxury of having the facility that allows us, you know, we're still pretty untapped for our potential with bread.
Right.
You know, except for that one, you know, Saturdays leading into Sunday, we've got a lot of bread happening.
Yeah.
I'm just excited about, you know, there's nothing like the aroma of fresh milled flour, that like sweet kind of milky floral.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't always nail everything perfectly, but there's crust aromas that I can get off of fresh milled bread that I have never seen out of something coming out of a bag. And so, you know, that was one of the, you know, working, not working with, but just observing and hanging out with Dave Miller a few times. He just really like opened my eyes to what, you know, beautiful looking whole grain bread, you know, and obviously amazing tasting whole grain bread could be.
Yeah.
I kind of say now Richard, you know, Richard does all the whole meal, you know, whole milling, but his breads, you know, aren't the prettiest breads. And,
right.
You know, I definitely have, you know, I think this newer generation of bakers are definitely have an aesthetic that, you know, you want it to look good, taste good, you know, with everything. And
yeah, hit all,
you know, I think,
sure.
Yeah, I think Dave, you know, showed me that you can do all those things at one time. And
right.
And so, you know, that's our gold standard, where we can have like bread that smells like Dave Miller's, that kind of burnt, that like burned honey crust on the,
yeah,
on the whole wheat. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when you were teaching at Wheatstock last year, and I was in your class, and then with Jim Williams' class after that, that was the whole reason I went to Rhode Island. Cause I didn't have it. I don't do any fresh milling, and I don't really have access to the fresh stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, okay. I want, like, so what's all the fuss about? Let's go see.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Old yeah. Pro. Was that a lesson?
Yeah.
Right away, like it is, it's remarkably different. And
yeah, I was,
and just lovely.
I was so excited to see Jim's breads.
Yeah.
And I'd seen them on Instagram so much, and to get your hands on them, and they're as beautiful as they are. You know, they're light, and they're incredible.
Yeah. And yet another example of like, you gotta get your hands in there and feel the stuff too. Cause when I was trying to shape it, that was, it was the strangest dough I'd ever felt in terms of, dough strength and that. And yet, it was just remarkable after we baked them. Like, it was so cool.
Yeah. And they just hold.
Yeah.
Jim's bread, just like, they just maintain that strength. They never like pancake out.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Still kind of baffled everything, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's the thing. Like because I don't have fresh milled flour, but I am experimenting with whole grain flour and stone milled stuff that I can get from nearby. And
yeah,
you know, the window, like, but my breads don't hold.
Yeah.
Like, I have this window,
right,
to get them in the oven, or else, you know, we're hucking discuses and stuff, and it's not, but
I know,
but still, you know, it's when it works, it's so good. Like, it's so awesome.
Agreed.
When I talk,
yeah,
and you know, and of course when I talked with Andrew, he's like, well, I don't know, you kind of get used to it, and then it's good all the time. And it's like, okay, I just need more practice. But that's,
yeah.
But it's remarkable.
Yeah.
But so I guess with that direction that you're going and the choices that you're making, I'm wondering, because I don't know very much about wholesale, and sort of an assumption,
yeah,
I always carry about wholesale is they're always just, it's just price all the time. And I'm like, how are you, do you get pressure on the wholesale side about that I guess might put you under pressure to to reduce the quality, if you will, or is it not an issue?
Well, we haven't been pushed much on our pricing.
Yeah.
I also haven't adjusted my pricing in 4 years.
Oh, geez, that'll...
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we definitely started out as a bread bakery, but we sell, I mean, to be honest, pastries are carrying the business right now, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, we do... I mean, I don't know dollars-wise the percentage difference, but I mean, yeah, I get 4 to 1, almost 5, 6 to 1 pastry inquiries to bread inquiries. Oh,
okay. Okay, sure.
So if we were strictly a bread bakery, the numbers would be way different. Right. It'd be way more of a struggle. But I mean, it's interesting, like in the Bay, like there's a lot of amazing people making croissant, but they're not many people are wholesaling wanting to deliver it.
Oh, okay.
And these guys keep dropping out. And so then we just keep getting, you know, we can't really absorb many more accounts because then we have to have more trucks on the road to get everything delivered before, you know, the critical hour. And
so you're able to make the good quality viennoiserie and get it to the stores.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that's definitely our, I mean, there's Greg of Neighbor who's still delivering. Jane just stopped doing delivery for viennoiserie.
Okay.
You know, I don't think Tartine ever really did.
Yeah.
There's a few that are, but
yeah,
there's a lot of cafes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people to serve where you live for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room.
Yeah.
I guess that's the trade-off, right? Like you've got the, on the one hand, you've got just amazing food where you live and you're part of that. But on the other hand, there's always more people than you can reach.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's, I mean, and then we're not even tapping into San Jose. Like,
oh,
there's another entire gigantic city, like 10, 15 miles south of us.
I had my brother-in-law used to live out there. So I was out there a few times to visit and like in San Jose and stuff too. And yeah, it's just the an awful lot of communities, all, you know, like all along there for sure. It's a nice place. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's us and Manresa kind of in the same, and I mean, they're not competitors. I mean, we're doing the same stuff,
sure,
you know, different takes on it. And there's plenty of business. So it's not like we're not have to compete for stuff.
Yeah. Is there a little bit of community amongst bakeries out that way? Like, are you guys able
definitely
to get together and stuff?
Yeah. There used to be a little more regularity to it, you know, some little gatherings of just like beers and a pizza.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I actually never met, blanking on her name. Let's say Blair, the Manresa. I've actually never met her.
Oh, okay.
Avery.
Yeah.
I've never met Avery. We're like super close to each other, like, you know, both milling on new Americans.
Right.
But yeah, the community's great. Like, you know, I always consult with Josie or Greg, like if someone's pushing me on a price or someone's pushing me on a delivery or a pay schedule, like I just touch base with those guys and we just kind of form a little band. And,
nice.
You know, we won't let somebody undercut somebody else. And
I remember reading a book, like, my wife and I, the same thing when we were watching, when we had the bakery, we were watching Cake Boss all the time on TV. And we never follow the story, but we'd always look what was going on behind him, right, to get ideas of like equipment layout and that kind of stuff. But he told a story once about, you know, his dad, when his dad had the bakery, and once a year he'd travel around to everyone in the neighborhood and all the bakeries and say, okay, what are you charging for this? And what are you charging for this? And make sure we're all on the same page, you know, because it's like, we're all in it together and I don't want anybody forcing one to cut a price and then we all have to, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so smart. It's like, yeah. And then, starter Brian, you know, Brian Wood, he's a big wholesale pastry guy. And, you know, he won't straight out tell me prices, but he'll give me some guidelines for what he's charging. And so it's, you know, it's great to just,
Nice.
Yeah. That approach of just like, let's not give away the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's so great. Like, so I guess what's the, when you're looking ahead over the next bit, what's sort of the hard part these days? What's the thing you're working on the most?
I think for us, it would be nice. Well, I mean, communication within the team and like, as we're
right,
you know, that's been the hardest thing is with these two shifts, but you know, I think in terms of the production, I'd like for us to be able to, you know, we've bounced around a little bit with our, like the hard red that we're getting. We got something from Camus for a bit. I would like for us to be able to just really hone in our process of like, of kind of modifying, like our whole wheat fluctuates in its consistency and quality some. And
okay,
I think that some of that's, you know, I definitely have great bakers that pay attention. And we just, I feel like there's this delay in response to like, all right, well, the dough felt this way. And then we just kind of do that a few more days. And we do that process, a few, you know, instead of just like a little more real time, kind of like
sure
manipulating.
Yeah. Can the cycle of the experiment be quicker, please? Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there's that. Like right now we're in one of those like a little mini dip where we're a little confused by our whole wheat bread and, you know, not loving it the most.
Right.
You know, that's a challenge. I think, you know, just can, you know, that's between the night shift and the day shift, just like continuing to grow this sympathy between like night shift's working hard to do as best they can, the day shift as well. Like, oh, you know, yeah. No one can get mad about something being done wrong. It's not intentional. It's like not careless. It's just slips by.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, some of that stuff.
Yeah. That whole human team dynamic thing is a,
yeah,
it's a real challenge with, especially when we're all kind of like, you know, so a lot of times we're at our happiest either alone or in small groups, you know, when you've got the big group to be responsible for, that's a, yeah, if I can see, I can see how that's a challenge for sure. It's almost like you're responsible for culture now.
You know, and then getting to the point that we're, you know, we need to have a little more overlap of the shifts. You know, that would help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, and then I guess to contrast that, what's got you excited these days? What's the thing that's really got you getting up with energy?
Most exciting thing right now. Well, we do have a few local growers are coming forward with some pretty big crops this year.
Nice.
Yeah, we got some samples coming in next week. Nobody had really the you know, enough grain to provide us with, you know, enough for us to have something last more than a month.
Right.
So I think there might be the yield this year. You know, we've been playing around with the whole wheat croissant, which we're really blown away by. We just haven't really wanted to, you know, we haven't really had enough pastry team to like have the bandwidth to do 10, 15 more books a week. And so that's kind of coming.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. When those come out nice, they're just like,
yeah,
you cannot believe them.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. You're like, there's no point in having any white flour in a croissant when you get those right.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the, like, I think that's part of the fun, but also, you know, I think for a lot of the folks listening that are, you know, maybe just starting out or wanting to start out, the time that it takes to bring in a new product in a meaningful quantity, like it takes time, you know, it's an involved process, you know?
Yeah. And like, well, and especially when you're feeling a little understaffed, like you're not going to divide that experimental dough in the right time. You're not going to give it the right attention. So you just like kick it down the road and you don't give it the right attention, then you don't really know what you've got. And then you, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a process in and of itself for sure.
Yeah. And like, yeah, there's, when I was teaching at SFBI, you know, there'd be an off week from teaching and, you know, I really didn't have a schedule. So I would just like tweak formulas and, you know, and all you have to worry about is like three or four does a day. Like,
yeah,
it's so fast to dial something in or feel a little bit confident with it. But
not in the middle of full production. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, other things that excite me are just like, you know, as we, you know, not reluctantly, but as we just continue to kind of grow as a business and just, you know, creating more systems and, you know, it's really amazing when, you know, you can just pass off an email and someone else can handle it. And, you know, some of those things that, you know, your weaknesses, like I'm not always the wordiest person in email or the best apologizer for a mistake or maybe I get a little too hot headed if someone complains about my price or something.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's awesome. I appreciate that. And I really like the point about, you know, knowing what your strengths are and knowing what they aren't, kind of a thing. It's that's the joy of being in charge, is you can fill in some of those gaps with people that like.
Yeah.
I used to struggle with that. I used to thought, well, if I don't like doing it, then it's a terrible job. So nobody.
Yeah, I totally know that feeling. And then you realize that there's people that, you know, that's what they did.
Yeah, like, they actually enjoy it.
They juggled all this stuff and they can do it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got 10 different email threads that they're juggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just one quick question, just because I was thinking back to your class last year. Are you still studying pH values and stuff in your dose?
You know, we've been on and off with that.
Yeah.
And every time I'm kind of off of that thinking, like then I have does that I'm really starting to be curious about. And I don't have a thorough enough. I would love to have a little bank of like, you know, a little sheet of, you know, of ranges of pH. So I can, just so I have that other thing to, one more variable to knock out when you're like at that stumbling point with the dough.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I don't have that information filled in yet. I thought for a second I had the right people that were really psyched on it, but then just again didn't have the room in the production to really have somebody stepping out
and testing,
checking that.
Consistently enough that you could maybe see the trend or something like that.
And then you're like, when things are good, you're like, it's okay, we don't really. And then when things are, when you're confused, you're like, oh man, I would love to have that little bit of information.
So cool. Well, hey, well,
yeah, but
sorry, go ahead.
From that, you know, from Jim's class, or maybe, Jim's production manager, she really latched on. I think she was doing a lot of kind of studying does.
Yeah.
My name's Sarah.
I have to talk with her. I've been trying to get her on the show, but she's been busy with just, you know, getting used to, well, last time I talked to, just getting used to Jim not being there, kind of a thing. And
right. Yeah.
Right. Sounds like they're doing great guns. I was, from what Jim was telling me, you know, they haven't missed a beat at Seven Stars, but, which is a really good story, you know, for everyone. I want to talk with her because that was a person, you know, that young woman was into it in the classes that I was there. Like she was like, I was just watching her go and it was great because she was super interesting and super interested in what was happening. Awesome. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, if I,
and working like,
track her
and
down, working like night for that question.
Yeah.
Get an update.
Awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, right on, Mac. This was a blast. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And
it was great chatting with you.
Yeah. And I'll wish you all kinds of success and whatever manageable growth you can pull off there.
It's like, I like that. That's well phrased. Yeah.
I'm so glad we talked because I'm in awe. I had a completely different picture in my mind of sort of where you guys were at these days. And that's, it's so cool to hear the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Right on.
Yeah. And we'll cross paths at a wheat stalk or a gearing gathering or something.
Oh, no doubt.
Soon.
No doubt. Or on your doorstep. You never know.
Right on.
All right, pal. Well, thanks a bunch. I really appreciate this.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice chatting, Mark.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
So was I right? Hey, what a guy. What a really interesting fella. Just so smart, so knowledgeable. And it was really neat to learn that, oh my God, this midwife and the baker that sounds like this two-person operations, like 40 people and, you know, 6-to-1 pastries to bread, even though this guy's a heck of a bread baker. Just so cool to hear how he built the business out and some of the things that he's dealing with now. And I have to say, I have no idea how a fella can, how a person can run a 40-person bread and pastry operation. That's incredible. So I'm really, really glad that you got to hear a bit about what he's up to and sort of what it takes to get some of this going. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the chat. I really did. I'm so glad that you're listening, and I hope you have an awesome week and you make some good stuff and you enjoy August, no matter where you are in the world and whatever season that means. I hope you're having a great week. Until we meet again next week, happy baking. Bye-bye.